As we said, it's Mother's Day. We honor mothers. And here's what a few men have said. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president, said, "All I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Washington Irving, an American author, said, "A mother is the truest friend. When trouble thickens around us, still will she cling to us and endeavor by her kind and precept and counsel to dissipate the clouds of darkness and cause peace to return to our hearts." George Washington, first president, said, "All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." An actor and comedian by the name of Charlie Chaplin said, "I've never met a more thoroughly refined woman than my mother. If I amount to anything, it will be due to her." And then the actor Denzel Washington said, "My mother never gave up on me. I messed up in school so much they were sending me home, but my mother was sending me right back." LeBron James, NBA basketball player, "I wish I could sit here and give you words to describe what my mother means to me. There's not enough words in the dictionary. I don't know how she did it." And I think a lot of us guys, I don't know about you ladies, but I think a lot of us guys could say the same thing about our mothers. "I don't know how she did it." You know, there's some great portraits of motherhood in the scripture. You know, Jochebed, the mother of Moses, she cared so much for Moses that she broke the law in order to teach him the faith of the Israelite people. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, you know, she gave her son to work for the Lord. Bathsheba, the mother of King Solomon, gave him some advice about godly living and how to pick a good wife in Proverbs 31. Mary, the mother of Jesus, believed in her son. He was the Savior of the world. And then there's a lady, we don't know her name, so we just call her Mrs. Zebedee. She's the mother of James and John, the disciples, the apostles. And you know, she wanted her boys to succeed. And that's where we get this title, A Mother's Request. Now let's go to Matthew 20:20. You know, on these special days, it's a little different. You know, I can teach you a lot of other stuff, but I thought we'd honor the mothers today. Matthew 20:20. You can find it on your iPad or your iPhone. And I better turn this one off so it don't go off. If you do have an iPhone or iPad, you can, and you're on Facebook, check in, or if you're on Twitter, let them know where you're at. The best type of advertising right now is social media. That's the best way to advertise. That's what the advertising people say. Okay. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something of him. That's talking of Jesus. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" And she said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and one on the other on your left hand in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" They said to him, "They were able." So he said to them, You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. It is for those whom it is prepared by my Father." Now, she was well aware of the fact that James and John were two thirds of the inner circle that was with Peter, that was with Jesus. You know, it was Peter, James, and John. That was the inner circle. Excuse me. But she wanted to make sure that they would have positions of responsibility and authority in the kingdom. That's why she went and asked this. Now, there's some positive things that we can glean from this. First of all, she wanted to make sure that her sons was in the kingdom. And, you know, I think that's important to every mother to make sure that their children are part of the kingdom of God. You know, I know mothers pray for their kids. My mother prayed for me. I know that. Sometimes mothers pray out of necessity. And sometimes they pray because motherhood is extremely difficult. And I'm sure any one of these mothers here will tell you that. You know, James Dobson tells this story. He came home one time and his son was a baby. And it had been a terrible day for his wife. His son had been sick and had cried all day long. While she was changing diapers, the telephone rang and she reached over to answer it. And before she fashioned his diaper, and just at that moment, he had a diarrhea attack. So she cleaned up that mess and put him in clean, sweet-smelling clothes. And then she took him into the living room and fed him. And as she was burping him, he threw up all over himself, all over her, and all over the couch. I can see that this brings back memories to these mothers' faces. And Dobson says, when I came home, I could smell the aroma of motherhood everywhere. And his wife cried out to him, was all of this in my contract when we got married? You know, sometimes mothers pray out of frustration as they try to communicate with their children. And, you know, actually, I know with me, Mom was getting through, but I didn't let her know it. And she didn't think she was communicating. And some of you other guys are the same way, you know. You know, one mother told her young son to watch his baby sister while she stepped out of the room for a moment. She was only gone for a few minutes, or a few moments, really. And because she had just stepped in the other room to pick up something to come back. And then before she could get back, she heard a thump and some crying. She rushed back in and found the baby had fallen off the couch and was stretched out on the floor crying. And Steve sat there, her son, looking very innocent. The mother said, Steve, I told you to watch your baby sister. And he answered, very emphatically, I did. He watched his sister the whole time as she fell off of the couch, just like his mother told him to do. Does that sound familiar with anybody? You know, actually, being a mom is not, it's really not easy. It's not an easy task. Some of us guys, I don't know about you ladies, but some of us guys could be a handful sometimes, you know. But I always knew when I had pushed the envelope too far, when my mother would raise her voice in only the way that she could do it, and she'd say, Kenneth Wayne Hagin, and man, I want you to know I was up and moving before she ever got the last syllable out of her mouth. Any of you guys know what I'm talking about? Oh, I got some company here. Even I saw some ladies raising their hand. Because, you know, sometimes we don't always want to heed their voice. But there's one thing that my mom did, and I'm sure that most moms, they want to see their children a part of the kingdom of God. And that's why Mrs. Zebedee went to Jesus. And not only did she want them to be a part, but she also wanted them to serve. And she wanted to make sure that just being in the kingdom wasn't enough. She wanted them up in a position of serving and so forth and so on. Now, you know, some people are content to come and sit in the pew on Sunday or church time. But there's a higher level than just sitting in the pew. It's called serving others. You know, but where does the spirit of service begin? It begins in the home with mothers setting the example. You know, when I was growing up, you know, Dad left the last church in the middle of my third grade year and went out into traveling ministry, and that's what he did the rest of his life. But then we moved to another town and was in the church of their preacher friends. And, you know, she always, anytime that there was any, they wanted somebody to help do certain things in the church and so forth, she is always encouraging me and my sis to get involved and be involved and serve and help. Got into my teenage years, you know, if there was some of the church members that were sort of invalid, couldn't get out. Now they were older. Well, we teenagers would go over and clean their yards and paint their fence and do all those things. But, you know, actually, she not only encouraged us to do it, but she set the example by being involved in the church herself. That's, and you know, it's one thing to tell kids another something, but it's another thing for them to see you as their example. You know, another thing that Mrs. Zebedee requested was that she wanted her sons to reign. Now, she just didn't want them to be doorkeepers. She wanted them to reign. She wanted them to sit on the right and the left hand. And, of course, there's no higher position with a king than to sit on the right or the left hand. But we might consider her a little brash and maybe a little presumptuous. But, you know, she loved her boys. And she was going to do whatever she thought was necessary to help them to achieve success. You know, I think that all mothers are that way. My dad, Kenneth E. Hagin, some of you know who he is, he said that a mother's love is probably the closest example we have of God's love. It doesn't matter. A mother wants the best for her kids, and God wants the best for us. He told us that he wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be healed. He wants us to have the good things in life. You know, it doesn't matter what a kid does, even if they stray from the godly path that they were taught. A mother never loses her love for her children. It doesn't matter. You know, the story of John Newton, he was 11 years old when he went to sea. It was not long before he was involved in all the ungodly, you know, vices of a seaman. And he followed this ungodly path for many years. But finally, the memory of his mother brought him to himself, and he remembered her Christian teaching and her godly life and her prayers. And he began to consider his own ungodly lifestyle and what a wretched life he was living. The recollection of his mom prompted him to search the ship for a Bible or book about God or something. And he found a book called Imitations of Christ by Thomas Kempis. And this book sowed the seed for his conversion on May 10, 1748, when the ship nearly sank in a violent storm and he trusted Christ as his personal Savior. Now, let me tell you something else. As a result of his mother's influence, Newton became the author of probably the best known song in the Christian faith, Amazing Grace. You know, the Bible says that if you train up a child when he's young, that when he's old, he won't depart. And I've seen that happen many times. But you know, Newton's influence didn't stop with Amazing Grace. He led a man by the name of Claudius Burcham to Christ, and he became a missionary to India. But most people never heard of him, but you might have heard of a book called The Star of the East. That book motivated Judson to become a missionary to Burma. Now, I want you to see the progression of something here. Newton's mother, her godly influence upon his life changed because of that, caused him to change. And he wrote the song Amazing Grace. And then affected the lives of two people that are considered great missionaries. You know, today we have celebrated Mother's Day. I wrote on my Facebook page earlier today, I wrote about her, what great mom and wife she has been for the last 50 years. But I also wrote another portion there. 8 years ago next month, on June the 28th, my mom went to glory. And I said, the man that I am today, I owe to her. Because Dad was off traveling and preaching, and Mom was there, and she had that firm hand on a young Texas boy that was very competitive and sort of rambunctious, but she had that strong hand that held me in check until I had enough sense when I was about 17 to yield to God and say I'd go into ministry. But I owe a lot to her. And probably sitting in this room tonight are a lot of us that owe a lot to our moms. Some of us, our moms are already gone. Some of us, our moms are with us today. Today we applaud all mothers for tackling what I consider one of the toughest jobs in the whole world. And that's being in charge of the home, raising the kids, and taking care of her husband. I want all the moms to stand right now. All the moms in the room stand. I want you to reach your hands out toward as I pray for these ladies. If you're sitting close to your mom or your wife, you might want to just put your hand on her yourself. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for these moms. I thank you for their patience, their understanding, their kindness, their prayers. I thank you for their example that they will be or have been. I thank you for these moms that are now have become grandmothers. I thank you that as they help to lead and to guide their grandchildren, that you'd give them the patience, the words to say, and the wisdom. We pronounce a blessing upon all of these ladies today, and we thank you for them. It's because of them that we have life as we have it today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Every rest of you stand up with these fine ladies. Bow your heads with me for just a moment. I never like to give a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus. If you happen to be in this place today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you need to rededicate your life, or you're like a lot of people that I know, they go to church but they don't know whether they've ever accepted Christ or not, and you'd like to have a no-so experience. Anybody anywhere in the room right now, I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Well, praise God. I think we're all Christians. If there's anybody here who would like to have prayer for healing, if you just step out in the aisle and come down, we'll pray for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I don't see anybody move. Well, no, here comes somebody. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just reach your hands out as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the healing power of God that's flowing into this body to drive out sickness and disease. And I thank you for completeness and wholeness in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Well, we're glad to have Miss Lynette. Her ankle is getting better. I don't know. This is about 6 weeks now, I think, seven since she fractured that thing. You know, how many of you remember when they used to say it was a broken bone? How many remember it? Now, you notice they say fractured. They don't say broken anymore. I don't know. I mean, our words change. How many remember when it was the personnel department? Now it's the human resources. It used to be the shipping and receiving, and now it's the distribution center. Isn't it funny how we change names? Hey, don't forget about the fellowship. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, shake hands with people before you leave. Thank you for being. Oh, yeah, we're going to have a party. It's party time. All right. We'll see you at the party. Praise God. Lord bless.